Lecture topic, Excellence in Actions.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina min yahdihillahu falamudilla lahu wa min yudlilhu falahadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى الصبح في جماعة ثم جلس في مصلاه يذكر الله تعالى حتى تطلع الشمس ثم صلى ركعتين كان له من الأجر مثل أجر حجة وعمرة تامة قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تامة 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 أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this insan, this human being such that inherently in the psyche, in the nature of this human being is the desire to acquire the good things. This essence of competition drives this insan all the time. Very often you see a youngster, he sees a young girl, he likes that girl. He tells his parents, I have to get married to her. She is everything to me. I'll give up my food, I won't eat, I won't sleep, I'll commit suicide, I must have her. Then we find that eventually when he does get married to her, barely a month passes and already the arguments start and then he's looking somewhere else. Like that, person has to have the latest motor car. A year later, a new model comes out, one or two technical changes, then sometimes hundreds of thousands of rands are spent to change it. Why? I need to get the better thing. This competitive nature and spirit is an inherent part of the psyche of this insan. And this is what generally drives this insan in this world. Now we find that the life of this world is like a rat race, where people don't know day from night. People are competing all the time. People are trying to acquire more and more of the things of this world. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the effort that they made was not to remove this competitive spirit, was not to stop this insan from driving himself towards acquiring the better things. But the effort that Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam made was to change the direction of this competitive spirit, was to turn this the attention of this insan away from this dunya towards the reality of akhirat. And if you look in Quran also, in fact one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums up the entire reality of the comparison of the effort of dunya compared to akhirat. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayatid dunya. Wal-baqiyatul salihat khayrun inda rabbika thawaba wa khayrun amala. One verse. Look at the eloquence of Quran. Allah ta'ala says, everything of attraction, everything of beauty, everything that is driving you and motivating you and causing you to strive of the things of this world, zinatul hayati dunya, there is a crunch point. There is a cut-off point. It's like you have a calculator. Whether you have 100,000, whether you have 1 million, whether you have 1 billion, whether you have 1 trillion. When you multiply it by zero, you will get the answer zero. So that is what Quran is telling you. All the plans that you have made, you are 60 years of age, mort is staring you in the face, you've still planned for the next 30, 40 years after that. You are driving yourself. You have hopes and aspirations about your children and then your grandchildren. You've got investments in foreign countries for the fear and the concern of what is going to happen tomorrow. You yourself will never have the himmat to tap into these investments. Forget yourself, even your grandchildren won't have the himmat. It'll just be lying there. Why? Because I'm worried what is going to happen tomorrow. All these hopes, all these aspirations, all these plans that insan is motivating himself in this world. Allah Ta'ala says, when the crunch point comes, when the zero comes, when mort comes, take a million, take a billion, take a trillion, multiplied by zero, it will be zero. When mort comes, everything will cease to have any significance or importance. Whether you bought that third car for your child, whether you opened up that new business, whether you fulfilled your investment portfolio, whether the plans and aspirations that you had of this world were fulfilled or not, when the angel of death will come in front of you, when mort will be staring you in the face, my respected brothers, the reality is such that all these things will cease to have any significance or importance. When you are placed in that qabr, your whole value system will change. What you thought was important before will no longer be important. Now you'll have a different set of values. That which Quran says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. What will be valuable, what will be important, is that which you sent ahead for akhirat. So what is your competition about? What are you driving yourself towards? What are your goals and what are your aspirations? One is those for the dunya. When we look in Quran, wherever, whether it is Quran or Hadith, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this dunya, wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of this dunya, then the tone is that of absolute insignificance. Doesn't have any value. It's not important. Mata'ul ghurur, darul ghurur, mata'un qaleel, Baytul Ankabut, Kasarabim Biqi'a, La Yahsabuhu Dham'anu Ma'a, La Tusawi Janaha Ba'ud. Unfortunately, we're not familiar with Arabic, but those who are, the message is that of insik, qaleel, little, deception. Home of the spider, a mirage, that of no significance. And then when Allah Ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of akhirat and the effort of akhirat, then the entire mode of expression changes. Then it is sabiqu, sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannah. Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannah. Fastabiqu al khayrat. Wa fi dhalika falyatanafasil mutanafisun. اطلبوا الجنة جهدكم واغربوا من النار جهدكم فإن الجنة لا ينام طالبها وإن النار لا ينام هاربها. Fortunately, occasion of Jummah is very limited to go into detail. Time is limited. Look at the mode of expression. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, seek Jannah with everything you have. Pull out all the stops. Run from Jahannam with everything that you have. Because the one who wants Jannah doesn't sleep, he doesn't rest, he burns the midnight oil. The one who runs from Jahannam does not rest. Quran says, Sariu, run! Outdo one another, compete with one another, go ahead from one another, not for dunya. We have turned it round the other way.
This temporary dunya, there we can't stand anyone doing better than us. There we are competitive. There we want to outdo the next person. But when it comes to our akhirat, when it comes to our deen, when it comes to our jannat, there we are complacent. If others have gone ahead of us, it doesn't matter to us. It is not important to us. We don't drive ourselves. Dunya, we can't stand it, and anybody must go ahead of us. Like that one brother puts it, we are constantly buying things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't like. Keeping up with the James and Jones of society, we can't stand it that anybody should go ahead of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my respected brothers, has given us a season. Whatever I mentioned thus far is a muqaddama, introduction for us to understand that right now we are in a season. This period that we are passing through is what is called Ayyam-e-Hajj. The value and the reward of good deeds are multiplied. Allah has opened up a competition for you. Allah wants you to outdo one another from Ramadan. We understand seasons of dunya, Christmas period, Easter period. There the businessman will burn the midnight oil. There he'll stock up long in advance, he'll make effort. Holiday period, people are outdoing one another in trying to get more and more into masiyat, bigger and bigger holidays. But this period where Allah has given us for deen, Allah has given us for akhirat, Allah has given us to compete with one another to gain our akhirat here, those that are going for Hajj, Alhamdulillah, we greet them, we ask them to make du'as for us. And then it stops there. We don't even have this desire. The day when, why doesn't Allah take us? This desire is not there. That now during these days, amal are being multiplied. Let me exert myself more in amal. One is our attitude. The other is the attitude of Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. An effort was made on them. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instilled on them the value of akhirat. So when verses like this came down, where Allah said, compete with one another, outdo one another, there was a group amongst them that became perplexed and worried. They came with a muqaddama, with a case, which they presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The annals of history will never show a courthouse or a majlis where such a case is being presented. But this case, which I'm going to mention, clearly illustrates the mindset of Sahaba Kiram. They also had a competitive spirit. They also wanted to outdo one another. But the medan and field of effort was different. Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, قَدِمَ نَاسٌ مِّن فُقَرَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. A contingent of poor sahaba presented themselves in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was their problem? What was the case that they presented? They said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِأُجُورِ هُمْ يَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَلَا نَتَصَدَّقْ وَيُنْفِقُونَ وَلَا نُنْفِقْ وَيُعْتِقُونَ وَلَا نُعْتِقْ. They said, O Nabi of Allah, we are poor people. Amongst us there are those sahaba who are wealthy. They are going for Hajj upon Hajj. They are going for Umrah upon Umrah. They are giving sadaqah and charity. They are freeing slaves. They are earning akhirat. We are getting left behind. Because we don't have the means, we don't have the wealth. Their concern was not for this dunya. Their concern was we were getting left behind in akhirat. Look at the shafqat. Look at the kindness. Look at the compassion of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How does he address this issue? He doesn't get involved in a complex debate or argument with them. These were ordinary simple people. These were Bedouins. They were nomadic people. They didn't have formal education. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's intelligence was such that the mind cannot fathom his intelligence. Nowadays we find, especially when it comes to courthouses or when matters are presented, then people try to make their answers as complex as possible. Because they feel that the more complex it is, the more sense you can't make out of it, the more intelligent the person is. That is not a sign of intelligence. Intelligence is to bring yourself to the level of your audience. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lowers himself. Look at what a simple example he gives them. He says, O my Sahaba, tell me, Ara'aytum, لو أن مال الدنيا وضي بعضه على بعض أكان بالغا السماء. Tell me, if all the wealth of the world had to be placed one over the other, will it reach the heavens? They said, لا يا رسول الله, O Nabi of Allah, it won't reach the heavens. So then he said, أفلا أخبركم بشيء أصله في الأرض وفرعه في السماء. Oh my Sahaba, should I not tell you of something? The roots are on this earth. The branches are in the heavens. In other words, what I will tell you is more valuable, more virtuous than the wealth of the world put together. So they said, tell us, O Nabi of Allah. He said, Antaqulu dubura kulli salatin maktuba. La ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Wa subhanallah. والحمد لله عشر مرات فإن أصلهن في الأرض وفرعهن في السماء. He said, after every first salah, say 10 times La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. If you will do this, the roots of it on the earth, the branches in the heavens, in other words, Allah will give you more reward than the combined wealth of the entire world. In one riwayat it comes, he said, after every first salah, say 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Tudrikuna bihi man sabakakum, wa tasbiquna bihi man ba'dakum, wa la yakunu ahadun afdal, illa alladhi sana'a mithla ma sana'tum. He said, say 33 times Allah, Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar after every first salah. Whoever has gone ahead of you in good deeds, you will catch up with him. Whoever is with you, you will go ahead of him. And no one will be able to compete with you except the one who does the same that you are doing. What is the difficulty? How difficult is it to sit for a few minutes after first salah and make the zikr of Allah? Yet we find nowadays we don't have time to go for hajj again and again. Those who have the wealth will find it easy. To go for umrah again and again will find it easy. But these simple amal, these simple nekis, which on a daily basis, this opportunity is there for us, this we find it difficult. Why? Because we consider these deeds to be insignificant. On one occasion, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses Sahaba Ikram. He says, Man asbaha minkum al-yawma sa'iman. Who amongst you today is fasting? Abu Bakr stands up and says, I, O Nabi of Allah. Man tabi'a minkum al-yawma janazatan. Who followed a janazah today? Abu Bakr stands up and says, I, O Nabi of Allah. Man at'ama minkum al-yawma miskinan. Who fed a poor person today? Abu Bakr stands up and says, I, O Nabi of Allah. Man aada minkum maridan. Who visited a sick person today? Again, Abu Bakr stands up and says, I, O Nabi of Allah. Man tasaddaqa bi sadaqatin. Who gave some sadaqah today? Again, Abu Bakr stands up and says, I, O Nabi of Allah. Each one a simple act. Yet in one day already so much neki had done. They were not complacent. They applied themselves. They looked for good deeds. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he hears this, he says, مَجْتَمَعَنَّ فِي إِمْرِينَ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That person who has done all these deeds in one day, his jannat has become wajib. The hadith I mentioned in the beginning, it is not possible every year to go for hajj. Many of us, we don't have the means. The whole life we may not go. But Allah has not closed the door upon us. This Ayyam-e-Hajj is for the whole Ummah. It is a season for all of us to wake up. That hadith which I mentioned in the beginning, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man salla subha fi jama'atin, thumma jalasa fi musallahu yadhkuru Allah ta'ala, hatta tatlu'a ash-shams, thumma salla rak'atayn." He said that person who makes his fajr salah with jama'at, Allah forgive us, but already just this first part of the hadith will exclude more than 70% of our majma'. Jummah, the masjid is full. What is the situation at Fajr time? Yet he said, make your Fajr salah with jama'at in the masjid. Then remain in the masjid, engage in the zikr of Allah in ibadat. Until the sun has risen, until ishraq time. Then read 2 rakat salah. What will Allah give you? He said, فَأَجْرُهُ أَجْرُ حَجَّةٍ وَعُمْرَةٍ تَامَّةٍ. He said, Allah will give you the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. And then because you may doubt it, he reiterated 3 times, Tamma, Tamma, Tamma. Complete Hajj, complete Umrah. Complete Hajj, complete Umrah. Complete Hajj, complete Umrah. We'll find it easy to collect thousands of rands. We'll find it easy to plan long in advance. We'll find it easy to undergo great difficulty for Nafil Hajj and Umrah. Nowadays holiday season has become Umrah season. But every day in your local masjid, Allah is calling you, one complete Hajj, one complete Umrah. Yet at the time of Fajr, where is the Ummah? Man, this Jummah, Yunus bin Maysara says, I entered the Qabristan. Ozai mentions the riwayat. He addressed the graves, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur min al-muslimin. Antum lana salaf wa nahnu lakum taba. Rahiman Allahu wa iyaakum wa ghafara lana wa lakum. Faka'anna qad sirna ila ma sirtum ilay. He said, peace be upon you, residents of these graves. You have gone ahead, we are going to follow. Allah have mercy upon you, Allah forgive you. From the grave the voice came, Tuba lakum ya ahl al-dunya, hina tahujjuna. Fi shahr arba mirar, Yunus, we are deprived. Mubarak to you. You are still alive. You have the opportunity to make 4 Hajj every month. 4 Hajj every month. He says, Ila ayn yarhamukallah. What do you mean 4 Hajj every month? How is this possible? From the grave the voice comes, Ama ta'lamuna. أن الجمعة تعدل حجة مبرورة متقبلة. Yunus, don't you know that every time you make Jummah Salah correctly, the reward is equivalent to one Mabroor, one Maqbool Hajj. In one riwayat it comes, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person who comes early for Jummah Salah, it is like that person who took his Qurbani animal, tied his Ihram, and made his Qurbani in the Haram. Abu Dawud Sharif, the riwayat is mentioned. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man tatahara fi baytihi, thumma kharaja ila al-masjid li adai salatin maktuba, fa ajruhu mithlu ajri al-hajj al-muhrim." That person who makes wudu at home, and then he proceeds to the masjid for the first salah, Allah gives him the reward like a person who tied his ihram and proceeded for hajj. وَمَنْ خَرَجَ لِسَلَاةِ الدُّحَىٰ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرُ الْمُعْتَمِرِ. And that person who proceeded to make chash namaz, Allah gives him the reward of Umrah. Uqba bin Abdul Ghafir says, شُهُودُ الْعِشَىٰ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ تَعْدِلُ حَجَّةٍ وَشُهُودُ الْغَدَاتِ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ تَعْدِلُ عُمْرَةٍ. He said, Isha Salah with Jamaat is equivalent to Hajj in reward. Fajr Salah with Jamaat is equivalent to Umrah. Hassan Basri rahimullah used to say, Mashyuka fi hajati akhika khairun laka min hajjatin ba'da hajja. He used to say, to go and assist your Muslim brother to go and assist your Muslim brother is better for you than Hajj upon Hajj upon Hajj, referring to Nafil Hajj. One Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas radiallahu anhu narrates the riwayat. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uridul jihad, wala aqdir alayhi. I want to go for jihad, but I don't have the strength or the ability. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Hal baqiya min walidayka ahad? Are any of your parents alive? He said, Ummi, my mother. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, فَأَبِلِ اللَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. He said, apply yourself, finish yourself in the service of your mother. If you will do this, then Allah will give you the reward as if you are a haji, one who went for umrah upon umrah, and as if you went for jihad upon jihad. The doors are open. He said, مَا مِنْ وَلَدٍ بَارٍ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ وَالِدَيْهِ نَظْرَةَ رَحْمَةٍ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ نَظْرَةٍ حَجَّةً مَبْرُورًا. He said, an obedient child, every time he will look with mercy at his parents, Allah will give him the reward of one accepted Hajj. Sahaba was surprised. How difficult, how much effort does it take to look? So they said, وَإِن نَذَرَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِيَةَ مَرَّةٍ. O Nabi of Allah, what happens if in one day he looks 100 times just to look? Hajj, just to look. He said, وَإِن نَذَرَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِيَةَ مَرَّةٍ. Allahu Akbar wa Atyab. He said, the treasures of my Allah are unlimited. If he looks 100 times with mercy, 100 times Allah will give him the reward of Hajj. Yet, my respected brothers, as we mentioned earlier, it has become easy for us, nafil hajj upon nafil hajj, nafil umrah upon nafil umrah, sadaqah and charity, putting up big masjids. But that which Allah has made compulsory, fulfilling our financial obligations, paying our debts, staying away from haram, ensuring that the hearts of our parents are not broken, this has become difficult for us. I am digressing. One hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لو أدركت والديا. He said, if only, this was in Medina in the latter part of his life. He said, if only my parents were alive. If not my parents, then at least my mother. I would have shown my ummah the value of a mother. He says, it would have been Isha Salah. The Imam would have been Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I would have started the Salah. I would have read Surah Fatiha. My mother would have come to the window of the masjid. And she would have called out, Ya Muhammad. Oh Muhammad, she would have called me. He says, I would have broken the Salah. Broken the Salah. Went to my mother and said, Labbaik ya Ummah. Oh my mother, I am present. What is it that you want from me? In an ummah where there are such examples, how is it possible that the hearts of the parents are broken? How is it possible that the parents are being treated like the dust underneath the shoes of the children? Where is the reality of deen amongst us, my respected brothers? This season has been given to us. Those that have proceeded for Hajj, Allah accept their Hajj. But we are being given, when it comes to our parents, when it comes to our Farz Salah, when it comes to our Muamla with Allah, daily, we have been given an opportunity for Hajj. We are given an opportunity for Umrah. Bring these simple nekis back in our lives. The spirit of competition which Allah has placed in us is not only there for dunya, it is there for akhirat also. I will terminate on one incident which clearly illustrates this. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the latter part of his life, he was living away from Medina. One person came to him. He says, I want to be your khadim, your servant. He says, no problem. I have one condition. What is the condition? When I tell you to spend anything of my wealth in Allah's way, spend the best. He says, it's your wealth, why should I have a problem with that? Some visitors came a little while later, a few months later. Abu Zar said to him, slaughter the camel and feed the visitors. He goes, first he takes the best camel. Then he thinks to himself, meat is meat. This camel is good for riding, it's good for giving milk. Let me take the lame one. He's taking the lame one, Abu Zar sees him, calls him. He says, you made khianat. Go now and take the better camel. He goes back, he slaughters the better camel, then Abu Zar sends for him. He says, did you make khianat intentionally or did you forget? He says, I did it intentionally. Abu Zar says to him, why? What motivated you? He says, I thought to him, to myself, meat is meat. What difference does it make? The good camel will be of service to you in your time of need. That is why I didn't want to sacrifice that camel. Abu Zar says to him, do you know when is my time of need? My time of need is not now. My time of need is when I go 4 feet in the ground. When Munkar and Nakir come in front of me, that is the time when I will really be in need. That is why for the time of need, I told you to give the best. We have, the field is in front of us. Quran calls out to us, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Outdo one another, compete with one another. It is part of your nature, but the competition is not competition of dunya. The competition is competition of akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhirat. Alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.